Hey, this is Molly. If you're just joining us, my best pal Max and I were recruited by Max's Aunt Murgatroyd to be part of a secret order of problem solvers. Since then, we've time traveled to ancient Egypt, Istanbul, and the International Space Station. We've solved problems with Pythagoras and Mark Twain. But now things have taken a crazy turn. First, we discovered a bunch of clues left by our enemy, the troublesome trolls. Then, we discovered our math teacher, Mr. Conklin, was also a troll. And then we uncovered a troll plot to uninvent ice cream. That might sound like a lot for a couple of middle schoolers to deal with, but hey, it's all part of the job when you're a problem solver. These are Mysteries About True Histories.
This is bad.
Real bad.
Worse than that one time you accidentally called Principal Ross Mom in front of the whole school.
Ugh, don't remind me.
What was that about? She looks nothing like your mom.
Can we not right now? We have bigger problems.
Sorry, you're right. Conklin stole our time machine. Now we have no way to rescue Aunt Em.
We have to think of something. If only we had a backup time machine.
Maybe we can steal it back like we did the Jade Dragon a few weeks ago.
Something tells me he isn't going to make it that easy again.
You're right. He's probably going to guard our time radio like it's the most precious thing on Earth.
Not to be obvious, but a radio that lets you travel anywhere in time and space might just be one of the most precious things on Earth.
Good point. But wait. Obviously, Conklin could time travel too. He snatched our time machine, maybe we can snatch his.
Okay.
Think about it, Maul. He took off using our time machine. That means his time machine must still be around here somewhere. It's not like you can drive two time machines at the same time.
Is that true?
How do I know? I'm freestyling here. But it's better than sitting around doing nothing.
Agreed. Okay, where should we start looking?
Well, after Conklin took our time machine, he went into his classroom and disappeared.
Great. We can start there as soon as school's over. Okay, think. If you were a troublemaking troll time machine, where would you be?
Probably in the North Pole, giving Santa a wedgie.
Ho, ho! Oh!
Oh, boy, you have a very active imagination.
It's called being creative.
Come on, look around. There's got to be some clues in here.
Maul? What exactly are we looking for?
Hopefully we'll know when we see it.
Yuck! This guy's such a slob. And that says a lot coming from me.
Ew. I wonder how long this Hot Pocket's been in this desk drawer.
At least it's from this century. These roasted cow udders look like they're from the early 1600s.
Gross! I'm gonna look over here, far away from this desk. Only in math problems can you buy 60 cantaloupes and no one asks what's wrong with you.
Ha! Very true. Also very random.
It's the poster. Every math classroom has one, all hung in the same spot. I know because I like staring at it when I turn in my tests early. This one is different somehow.
Okay. A. Nice humble brag. And B, it looks the same to me.
Nope. It's faded.
They're all faded. They hung these posters up like 20 years ago.
Maybe, but this one's faded in a different spot. Almost like it was closer to the window.
Now that you mention it, the poster does look different.
Does Conklin's desk seem bigger?
Bigger?
Like it takes up more room.
All teachers' desks look the same to me, Maul.
And does this classroom seem smaller somehow?
Smaller?
Max, go next door and count how many tiles are on the floor.
Serious?
Serious.
There's 20 tiles across.
And here there's only 1, 2, 3, 15. This room is smaller.
What does it mean?
A smaller room, a bigger desk, a faded poster? I bet there are fake walls in here.
Whoa! That's a hollow wall sound if I've ever heard one. That's crazy. Conklin's had a secret hideout in his classroom all this time.
I wonder what's behind these walls.
Hey, look. He's got a ceiling fan above his desk. No other classroom has a ceiling fan. I bet if I pull on this long chain, the hidden room will be revealed.
Max, wait.
Nope, it's just a regular ceiling fan.
That was so loud. Max, quick, lock the door. I'll pull down the blinds.
Got it.
What the hey?
The walls, they're lifting up into the ceiling. The deadbolt on the door activated it. Or maybe it was the blinds.
Or both.
Whoa! Is that
a time machine? Only it's gigantic.
It covers three walls.
It's like a computer from the 1970s. It takes up the whole room. And look at it. It's got gears and pipes and dials and zapping electrical things. Crazy!
It looks like steampunk, anime, and my grandmother's old landline got together and designed a time machine.
No wonder Conklin wanted to steal our time machine. This thing looks so old. The instructions are written in hieroglyphics.
Nice time machine, Burn Max. But we better be nice to it.
Why's that?
We're going to need it.
What's happening?
That hostage time transport tracker sign is blinking. And all the gears are spinning. Look! And that container is dropping a ball onto the lever and pulling it in gear.
Ah! Oh, I think it's done.
Done with what, though?
I'm guessing it's tracking something through time. Could it be Aunt Em?
So this is how the trolls are pinging Aunt Murgatroyd through time and space. But these dates don't follow the code. When Conklin confiscated our time radio, he must have discovered that Aunt Em relayed us her time and location and changed the code.
Balls!
Max! Language.
No, the ball's in the machine. Don't you see them? They're all different sizes. There's small, medium, large, extra large, and giant ones. And then in that bin, there are red ones that look like they're the same size. It's a mechanical random number generator, like they use for the lottery.
Ah. So, if we match up the stack of fallen balls and the dates on the screen, it looks like it started in 2024. Then a small ball fell, and it was 2014. Then a medium ball fell, and it went to 1964. A giant ball fell, and it jumped back to 1464. And then there's a red ball in the tube, and the date that matches up to it is 1564.
Clever. It's like a giant wind-up watch. Check out this gear here. After it goes two times in one direction, the gear shifts, and a ball drops from the red basket. Then it switches back again. That's how they keep her moving back and forward in time. Looks like this dial here controls how often it jumps. Here, it's on 5 seconds. Let's set it to 1 hour. That's the longest setting.
Here, let me help you with that lever. Oof. I can't make the gears move.
Me neither. I thought if we could turn them, we could bring Aunt Em home.
Maybe we can jam something in there to keep her in one spot in space-time.
Wow, I gotta say, this thing is ridiculously big, old, ugly, and confusing. But it sure is sturdy. They really knew how to build things back in the day. Of course, that doesn't help us.
It won't break!
Maybe not. But we can see which ball is dropping next and figure out when Aunt Em is going. Based on all these jumps, the small ball moves her back 10 years, medium goes back 50, large goes back 100, and the giant ball goes back 500 years.
What about the red ball?
The red ball sent her forward again 100 years.
Gotcha.
The next ball in the chute looks like a small ball. According to the last printout, Aunt Em is in the year 1924.
The small ball is 10 years back? That's easy. 1914.
Yes. And no.
1924 minus 10 years isn't 1914?
No, it is. But that's not a small ball. I made a mistake. I think it's a medium ball, which is 50 years back. What's 1924 minus 50? Come on, Max, you can figure it out. 1924 minus 24 equals...
1900?
And half of 50 equals what?
Half of 50 equals 25.
So, 24 is only one away from 25, which means you just need to subtract 25 from 1900, then subtract one more year to make it 26. 26 plus 24 equals 50.
Right. So, 1900 minus 25 equals 1875, and then subtract 1, 1874! I got it!
Yes! And no.
Now what?
I think that's a large ball, not a medium one. Which means you need to subtract 100 years from 1924. Sorry.
That's okay. Let me think. 1924 minus 100 years is... 1824.
Good work. Let's fire this up and go back to get her.
Are you sure you didn't get the balls wrong on purpose? Just to make me do more math?
I would never. But come on, we gotta hurry. We have less than an hour until the next ball drops and Aunt Em is sent to 1824.
Gotcha. But wait, we know when she'll be, but not where she'll be.
Right. She could be anywhere.
Well, not anywhere. We know it's gonna be one of seven locations. Maybe their time machine works differently than ours. Like, we can go anywhere at any time, but they can only travel where they have built in the wires. Ours is like a modern cell phone, and theirs is like an old-time telephone booth.
Maybe. But then how did they get to all of those other places? It's not like they could just hop on a plane in ancient Egypt and head off to somewhere else in that time.
Maybe they have more than one of these machines. That would definitely explain why they wanted our machine. And my aunt.
Well, the clock is ticking. We better figure out how to drive this old thing.
Driving? The stick shift thing in the corner has seven settings.
Like park, drive, and reverse?
No. It says SF, HC, MS, BL, AI, BT, and MA.
What do you think those could be?
If I had to guess, I'd say they stand for San Francisco, Havana, Cuba, Madrid, Spain, Beirut, Lebanon, Agra, India, Bangkok, Thailand, and Melbourne, Australia.
Of course! And that matches the pattern of places! Phew! I'm glad it hasn't changed.
Lazy trolls!
Knowing how long ago she was in Thailand, if we count how many balls have dropped, we can tell which place is next. Next stop, Madrid.
Cool! And look, these giant gears. They're labeled days, months, years. Yes! Finally! Something that isn't in some wackadoo code. Slam it into gear, we'll set the year, and go find Aunt Em. Oh, come on!
The location shift popped out of place as soon as the gear spun. One of us needs to hold it in place.
I think we have a bigger problem. All the teeth on these gears are broken off. This thing is total junk, bro. See, by turning the day gear, it was supposed to turn the month gear, which turned the year gear.
How are we gonna know how much to turn each one to get to the right date?
Wait! I think a decade of building Lego cars is about to pay off. There's this thing called gear ratio.
Never heard of it.
Imagine gears like the ones you see on a bicycle. They're those round metal parts of teeth around the edges. Now, gear ratio is like a recipe that tells you how many times you need to turn one gear to make another gear turn a certain number of times. This time machine has three gears, one for days, one for months, and one for years. We need to travel back 100 years, so we need to figure out how many turns of each gear are needed to set the machine.
Okay. How?
By multiplying the gear ratios. Think of those bike wheels. One gear is big and the other is small. Now, let's say when you turn the big gear once, because it's connected to the small gear turns twice. So, you multiply the number of times you turn the big gear by the number of times the small gear turns for each turn of the big gear.
Okay, that makes math sense.
And if we count the broken teeth, the day gear has 20 teeth, the month gear has 10 teeth, and the year gear has 5 teeth. We need to figure out how many times we need to turn the day gear to cause the year gear to turn 100 times. That's the gear ratio!
Okay, since the day gear has 20 teeth and the month gear has 10 teeth, the gear ratio is 20 to 10, which simplifies to 2 to 1. And the gear ratio between the month and the year gear, 10 teeth to 5 teeth, is 10 to 5, which also simplifies to 2 to 1. Now, if we multiply the gear ratios together, we get the total gear ratio from the day gear to the year gear. So, 2 times 2 equals 4.
That means for every one turn of the day gear, the year gear will turn 4 times.
And since we want the year gear to move 100 times, we divide 100 by the total gear ratio. 100 divided by 4 equals 25. We need to turn the day gear 25 times and the year gear 100 times. But what about the month gear? That needs to be turned the right number of times as well.
Since the gear ratio between the day and the month gear is 2 to 1, for every one turn of the day gear, the month gear will turn twice. So if the day gear turns 25 times, we'll need to turn the month gear 50 times.
Right. This way the machine will think all the gears are wound up the right amount, like an old-timey wind-up pocket watch. Great thinking, Max. Let's do it.
It's not working. I think the location shifter and the gears have to all turn at the same time.
But we can't do that. They're too far apart for us to hit all four things together. Maybe if I run real fast. Nope. I don't think we can operate this time machine on our own.
Great. What are we gonna do?
This episode of Mysteries About True Histories was written by Adam Markowitz and voiced by Dexter Dangermayo, Molly Smith, and Adam Tex Davis. Original music by Brian Suarez. Our associate producer is Max Kamaski. Technical direction and sound design by Josh Hahn. The executive producers are Adam Tex Davis and Jerry Kolber from Atomic Entertainment, and Jed Baker and Agaranish A. Palmer from Starglow Media. Mysteries About True Histories is a Starglow Media and Atomic Entertainment production. Grown-ups, looking for ad-free audio fun for the whole family? Subscribe to Starglow Plus on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. Learn more at starglowmedia.com/subscribe. Catch you on the next Mysteries About True Histories.